Good morning. Thank you for being with us again. Lord bless us through another week. Give us an opportunity to come and worship together, study His precious word, and thank Him for every week and every day and every moment that He gives us as we travel life's journey. We continue to look at the nation of Israel, the Holy Spirit, and the work that it did in the Old Testament, and we're going to get to the New Testament, but ask you, if you will, to turn with us again. We're going to begin again in the book of Exodus, and we're going to go to 16th chapter of the book of Exodus as we look at some things concerning the nation of Israel this morning. And I'm going to do the best I can. I had cataract surgery on the left eye on Wednesday morning, and I didn't see any until yesterday morning out of that eye, so I've been one-eyed for a good little bit, but it's beginning to improve. I can see a little bit out of it now. So I couldn't read when I had two, so I'm short-handed, sure enough, this morning. But anyway, Lord knows all about that. Now, we've watched the nation of Israel as the Lord brought them out of Egypt, and we've crossed over the Red Sea. We're into the wilderness, and if you remember last Sunday, they had 3 days into the wilderness and they didn't have any water, and they began to grumble about not having any water, and the Lord took care of that. And we talked about He found a tree, and He threw the tree in the water, and the water was bitter, and it became sweet. And the cross was bitter, but the results of it sure are sweet. They sure are sweet. So as we look now at the nation of Israel as they continue on to their journey, we find in the 16th chapter that they're doing something else again. And it's not been too long. And it says in 16th chapter, verse 1, they took their journey from Edom, and all the congregation of the children of Israel, wilderness of Zin, which is between Edom and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed out of the land of Egypt. 15th day of the second month. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died in the land by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pot, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord. Now they're grumbling to Moses and Aaron. And the Lord now fixing to give an answer. And He says, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Where they will walk in my law or no. There's always a belief and a trust in this. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And He goes on to explain to them how it's to be done as the Lord blesses the nation of Israel with this that they're lacking. Skip a few verses as we go on. You know, we human beings are peculiar people, very peculiar people. And then in verse number 9, and Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurs. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared how? In a cloud. And here we have that example again, that in the to the nation of Israel, the Lord appeared to them in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But, in each of these situations, we find the Lord spake. The Lord spake. The Lord spake. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmur of the children of Israel speaking to them, saying, at eve ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at the evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. So, they got the manna in the morning and the flesh in the afternoon. Now, I am so thankful that the Lord is patient. I'm thankful that the Lord is patient. Now, we've already seen the nation of Israel murmur twice, and it's not been across the Red Sea very long. We have a hard time being satisfied with the blessings that God's blessed us with. Now, as we were to look at this 16th chapter, and it tells us how they were told to collect the bread in the morning and what was supposed to be done with it. Now, I want you to look at verse number 19. And Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. Now God has, and if you were to look back at this, God has given them specific directions on how to gather the manna in the morning. I mean specific, detail. And then you don't gather on the Sabbath. You gather the day before Sabbath. You gather enough for the 2 days. And there's none of it to be left. But here it says, after all the directions that's been given, after all their murmuring, and now the Lord blessed them with the manna and the quail, and here we come to the point, notwithstanding. Now here we are. This is a good example of how we are. You know, God's word is true and it's direct. It's like when Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Specific way that if you ever see the face of God Almighty, you're going to see it through his Son, Jesus Christ. And there is no other way. There is no other sacrifice for sin other than the Son of God. But we say, notwithstanding, we think we can do it another way. We think we can improve on what God has said and done. And that always brings what? That always brings trouble. And here it says, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it till the morning. Now, it says, notice another phrase in this verse. He says, and some of them left, not all. Aren't you glad that you're one of those who listened to the Holy Spirit and was obedient to the Holy Spirit. And when it called and showed you and me our lost and undone condition, that we listened. And notwithstanding, we heard that this is what God's saying to me today, that I need forgiveness for my sins, and it only come through and by Jesus Christ. It don't make any difference what you think, what your neighbor thinks, or what the world thinks, what the government thinks. It's still back the way God's plan is. Right. And that's the only way to get under the mercy of God. And he said they left it to morning. And he said, and the bread worms, and it bare worms, and it stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Now, if Moses was mad with them, why do you think about God? And they gathered it every morning, every man, according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it did what? It melted. Now, I want you to look at something in that particular verse. Now, what did God do every morning? He rained down the manna to supply them that day. But what was going to happen to it in a little while? Look at this. It says that it, when the sun waxed hot, it did what? It went away. It went away. Now, I wonder this morning, how many Sunday school lessons, how many messages, how many missionaries will stand this morning and feed the congregation with the Word of God, and they won't accept it. Now, what happened to this manna when the sun came up and it got hot? It melted away. And they'll walk out of wherever they are. They'll walk back out in the world. And the Word of God that they've heard, maybe the Holy Spirit touched their heart a little bit. But they'll walk on out and just let that message melt away and be of no use to them. And then you wonder, how many more times will God give them that opportunity to hear that word? Is it going to come to the point that one of these days their hearts just go harden, or are they not going to listen anymore? Some things that we can see as we look through this. God says, you gather it and you do it like I told you. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers, for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. So they murmured, and God's heard their murmuring. He had mercy and patience again, and he supplied their needs again. Now, let's go on the way over, and as we look through the book of Exodus, we see the Lord gives Moses the law, the Ark of the Covenant, and all those things as far as the tabernacle is concerned, and has to be constructed, and all those things that go on. The tabernacle is presented to the nation of Israel. I want you to go with me over to the 40th chapter of the book of Exodus. Then we're going to look at a few things there, and then we're going over to Numbers. And in the 40th chapter, we look at the 33rd verse of that 40th chapter, and it says, "And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. And Moses finished his work." Now, I know we've skipped a lot of stuff here as we've come to this. And it says, "Now Moses has finished his work. The tabernacle is now complete." Look at verse number 34. "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord did what? Fill the tabernacle. Shekinah glory, the cloud of the Lord covered the tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Now I want you to look at verse number 35. "And Moses was what? Not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys." So now, they have been a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now we have the tabernacle, the worship place for the nation of Israel, has now been established. And then if we look through Exodus and Leviticus, and we look at all these books ahead of us, we're going to find that God tells them that he set up the tabernacle. He's going to tell them how they worship, how they sacrifice, and all the sacrifice and offerings that are done in the tabernacle. But now, there's a pillar of cloud, and it's over what? It's over the tabernacle. And when it comes time for the nation of Israel to move, what's going to happen? The cloud's going to lift off the tabernacle. And then he has specific directions on how they are to move the tabernacle. And in that direction, there is an Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant is that mercy seat. You know, in the Ark of the Covenant on the mercy seat, where a priest goes in once a year and offers a sacrifice, and he tells them how that's to be carried. You know, it has gold rings on the side of it. Two on the left, two on the right, and they have shafts that go in it, and they lift it and put it, and that's the way it's carried. And that's the only way it's to be carried. So he gives specific directions. But we're still looking at that cloud. You know, we're talking about how the nation of Israel are led in the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and New Testament. And here it says in verse number 37, "But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it were taken up. For the cloud of the who? Of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night." So now we have the cloud in the day and the fire by night. "And in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." So every house of the nation of Israel and through all their journeys. And they follow the cloud by day, the fire by night. Now we're going to go way on, so we won't go all the way to Numbers. And go all the way to the Numbers, and let's see if we can Go with me, if you will, to chapter number 13 in the book of Numbers. And the nation of Israel, they've been wandering around in the wilderness. God's getting ready to move. Where's the nation of Israel headed to start with? They're headed to the Promised Land. They're headed to Canaan's land. And that's a promise that God made to the nation of Israel. And we'll talk about that in a little more detail because of some things that God said to Moses when the nation of Israel bucked up against his command. And God made some harsh statements concerning the nation of Israel when we come to the crossing of Jordan. I want us to have time to look at those in some detail while we are there. But in the 13th chapter, in verse number 1 of the 13th chapter of Numbers, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord," notice, "by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." And then it lists those children of Israel, the heads, the ones that went. Now, notice, we're talking about the land of Canaan that God has given to the nation of Israel. It says, now it's time to begin our journey toward Canaan's land. They're in the wilderness on this side of Jordan. Canaan land is across Jordan. And it's time for us to cross Jordan. But God says, you send some men to look it over and bring a report back. And in verse number 17, he sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountains and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether the tents or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now, the time was time of first ripe grapes. So now, they head out, they go look at the land, and then it's time as they come back. And in verse number 26, "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Pan and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now we went and we looked at this land, and surely it is a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now we have brought back the fruit of it." Chapter number 13, verse number 28. And what's the first word in the 28th verse? Nevertheless. What do we need a nevertheless in this verse? Who sent them to start with? Now, if we go back and we look, it says, God says, Moses, you tell them to go spy out the land that I have what? that I've given to the nation of Israel. Now, what does that mean? Does that not mean that it's a done deal? I mean, it looks to me like it says it's a done deal. But they've got to put a nevertheless in it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Malachites, dwell in the land of the south. And then they got the Hittites and the Zebatites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and all those that dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said. You remember, how many gave a good report? You remember? We had two, and who were they? Caleb and Joshua. Out of those that went, the 12 that went, they got two good reports. And Caleb said, wait a minute now. Hold on. Now, we're going to see something over in the 14th chapter about Caleb. So we'll pick him up again a little bit later on, too. He said, let us, now notice what it says, let us go up at what? At once. And let us do what? And possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. What has he seen that the rest of them didn't see? What's the difference? Now, we'll pick the answer to that up in the next chapter. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. We can't go up against them because they're stronger than we. Let me tell you a little secret in case you didn't know it. You can't go up against the devil because he's stronger than I am and you are. But who's going to fight your battle to start with? It don't depend on what we can do. It depends on what God's going to do. Amen. And Caleb has got sense enough to know that God brought us this far. And he's not going to let us down now. And he said that land's our land. And let's just go on and get it. Let's go on and enjoy it. Now. Not later, but now. Let us go at once. Possess it. For we will be able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Sure they are. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land to which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. Now, one phrase in this particular verse I want you to pay attention to. They said these giants up there. So say, well, they're men of pretty good stature, right? Now, I want you to look at the phrase in the middle of that verse after it says, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as what? Are they trying to help themselves or hurt themselves? We just see ourselves as little old grasshoppers against a great old big giant. God ain't said nothing about where they're grasshoppers and where they're giants. God said, just go look at the land. Caleb says, we can get it. So they're trying to defeat themselves before they even start the process. How are they looking at this? They're looking at this through their own ability, through what they can do. We cannot live a Christian life that will bring any glory to God within ourselves, of our own selves. It's got to be what's inside. And that thing that's inside is the Holy Spirit. And here, God said that I am your leader. I am your strength. Listen to my servant and do what my servant says do. Nope, we can't. We're just grasshoppers in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel. And here we go again, verse number 2, they did what? They done what they always, murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation, and said unto them, would to God, now listen to this again. What do they always go back to? Every time, they go back to what? They go back to Egypt. I thank the good Lord that never one time since he saved me by his marvelous grace, if I wanted to go back to Egypt.
Thank God.
I don't care nothing about that sinful life that was prior to. And I don't care if I was saved when I was 12 years old. I know what the Lord did for me when I was a teenager, and I know what I would have done if he had not been. Because I know how many times that I stand here this morning and think about, he checked me. Wait a minute. He tightened the reins a little bit. Ain't the direction you want to go. Not the direction you want to go. And if it had not been for the Holy Spirit and the conscience of God in my life through the Holy Spirit, I'd have walked down on that road just like the rest of the guys did. I don't know about you, but I can think about a lot of times he tightened the reins. Not the way to go. Let's go this way. And I thank the Lord that he did. And it says, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, and our wives and our children shall be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? I want you to notice, I don't know where the time went this morning, but it's about gone. But I want you to notice something here in this particular verse. I want you to remember a phrase in this particular verse. What does it say? He said, to fall by the sword, in the middle of the verse, and our wives and our children should be a prey. I want you to remember that phrase. Should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another. Now this is getting serious. Because what are they getting ready to do? Watch this verse. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Just don't pay attention to the man of God anymore. Let's just pick us out a captain. And let us head back to Egypt. That's like spitting in the face of God. That's a hard statement that they've made right there. And they will remember this statement that they have made right here. And Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua and Caleb, here they are in the picture again, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. I got 2 minutes. Next verse starts with what? But. That's like a nevertheless, too. Here we are. But all the congregation did what? You think this is not getting serious now? They've just said, let's get us a captain. And now what are they saying? All the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. All of a sudden, God must have really got... He must have really turned the Shekinah glory light on, because better all of a sudden it appears. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long? I want you to look at this. I might go a little bit, but I'm going to read these few verses before we leave, because he says, O Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? Now, there's a key thing in this particular verse, and I'm going to have to stop here, but I'm going to leave you with this key phrase. Look what the Lord said through Moses. How long will this people do what? Provoke me. How long will it be ere they do what? What does that say? Believe who? Believe me. How long before they believe me for all the what? Signs. The nation of Israel desires a sign which I have shown among them. And we're going to stop right there, because I need a lot of time in these next few verses. God bless you, and thank you for being with us today in our Sunday school hour.